We left off on this 360 degree dial. Just very quickly, we'll go to the 90 degree dial because it's just very clear and very crisp. And here we see a slightly different picture than we previously saw. We look at the cardinal axis, we see that Saturn and Cronos stand on the cardinal axis, and Neptune and Uranus are standing on the cardinal axis, precisely as well as Apollon and the ascendant for Washington. Now, Saturn and Cronos rules the king or the old man, all right, the old ruler. You get the picture here where we go Saturn plus Cronos is the losses of the authority, poor government institutions, the loss of sovereign persons, the leading and independent persons are hindered, high age, old master, right, late fulfillment, great obstructions, right, that sort of stuff. And it's standing on the cardinal, so it's minus the sun, right, and it's the impoverishment of an independent person, the man who is getting old, who has gained a lot of life experience, days in which the authorities hinder and separate, right? But the picture is grandpa in the family is Saturn and Cronos, is really the whole idea. The old patriarch, the old head of the mafia, the old boss, the old president, whatever it is, this is the person, the leading personage, and everybody's waiting for them to die. You know, that's generally the way it goes. Now, standing with that is Uranus and Neptune. And Uranus and Neptune have been crossing the cardinals back and forth now for quite some time. They will continue to go back and forth a little bit. Uranus and Neptune means the abrupt, sudden transition into the beyond. It is often in death charts. We see Uranus and Neptune more in death charts than we do see Saturn and Mars. And Saturn and Mars is the traditional death aspect. Right? So Uranus and Neptune, if we read its interpretation, dead persons, unconsciousness, checkmated, suddenly incapacitated or paralyzed, crisis, revolutions, the transition into the beyond, film, funerals, cemetery, occultism, metaphysics, revolutionizing in science, right? And so the idea here is, right here in this picture, we see the death of an old leader, right off the bat. You know, we're going to see the passing of old leaders.
Does that mean he's getting assassinated?
Doesn't mean he's getting assassinated. It means he dies.
Okay.
But
is this 4 to 6 weeks lead-in?
No. We have to go over to the assassination pictures. Mostly come in through August. I think they're coming in a little earlier. And whether he's assassinated or has a quote-unquote heart attack is debatable all the way around. I mean, one of the things is anybody who's trained in any kind of medicine, looking at that guy and looking at the puffy cheeks, the red, and all that other stuff, you realize this guy has congestive heart problem to begin with. And who is this?
Well, he's in perfect health.
Yeah, so you're always in perfect health.
Wait, we have fake news?
Yeah. So he's not looking too good. And this picture is standing right on the cardinal axis. So I mean, this is like pretty incontroversial. Now, right around the time of the election and the solstice and all this other jazz, in this era, we've been seeing a lot of large people dropping dead as well. You know, from Leonard Cohen to Leon Russell.
Castro
just dropped dead yesterday. So the old leader dying. It's a very clear picture. So we're going to see other personages going. What was it? The King of Thailand just died. There's another one that's out there who's really wicked old, who shouldn't be in power. But the point is that's what's going on. So we have this idea that grandpa goes away, essentially, is the image here, is the picture. And in the U.S., it's widespread. See, Ascendant in Apollon is a widespread thing, many acquaintances. To be acquainted with people of science or commerce, to deal with matters from a distance, matters from a foreign location. So if we minus the sun from that, is the man who's successful from a foreign place, to be familiar to many by appearances to obtain honor and success through one's acquaintances or through one's connections. But the truth of the matter is, when you combine it with all of these pictures together, we could say that somebody from foreign places or far away is manipulating or involved in this.
Right? What would that look like?
I don't know what they would look like, but...
No, no, you know, who is it? Who are you referring to?
Now, it also, the picture you'll notice, also stands with Hades and Pluto as well. So it is not going to be taken well. Hades and Pluto is to revile something, to hate it, think it's horrible. You know, so it's a nasty combination, and it's a nasty picture. Now, if we go back to the picture here that we were looking at earlier, right, and this is the moon Hades business, which I say is the misery of the people.
Right.
There's our sun Cronos, and there's our Jupiter Saturn. So here we get a slightly different take on it. It's a very clear picture. Again, we're not seeing, there's not a lot of stuff going on here, but we see that the financial world is clearly directed by governments and will impoverish the regular hoi polloi. Yes. We did it before. Got that done. Okay, so that's some of the things on the 90 to let you know that these pictures are coming in with incredible clarity and accuracy. If we go to that Mars, right, we see that half square to the Pluto is dead on, you know? And if we subtract Cronos from that, right, which would be the government going to war or some stuff like that, right, or policemen in uniform, right, we see that there's Neptune and the node. Quite precise. See, the line is actually obscured here. It's quite precise. Mars plus Pluto minus the government, right, is a very tenuous situation. Neptune and the node has to do with unclear connections, unclear alliances, not sure who you're dealing with, or dealing with things with religions and stuff. And I just want to point out that all these Neptune pictures also deal with the fact that there's a loosening on drug laws in the U.S., but a tightening on drug laws in other countries. But the U.S. is under this opioid epidemic that was directly instituted by Big Pharma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole thing of OxyContin is completely, you know, a Big Pharma thing. Honestly, in 1975, you know, if you had a back problem, they didn't give you a handful of opium.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was like much more controlled. So this is like this big deal. And also the pot regulations getting lax in the U.S. What is it? The guy that they're nominating for Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, who said basically he will not talk to anybody who's ever smoked pot.
Today, you mean. Hadn't smoked pot today.
No.
He's in trouble.
I guess he's
going to
be talking to himself.
Pretty much. So remember that anything that I'm talking about with the Neptunian situations also include pharma, drugs, water damages, you know, all the scandals, all the Neptunian things, because Neptune is just so strong in this chart. It's just so strong. So just to pick up a few of those pictures so that we get the sense of how much clarity is actually going on with this. Now, David Beasley sent me this packet about 2 weeks ago, right? And, you know, he's basically got material I don't have here, but if we do Trump's natal lines, Trump has Mars rising, going right here through Virginia, right near Washington, and Cronos on the MC, also going right through Maryland and very close to Washington in general. And basically, that would say that it's the Marshall area that does all this stuff.
Is this his birth relationship?
Yeah, that's okay. His birth place. That's actually, it's a much more of a local thing. And on the oath of office, He's got Mars, Jupiter, and the Sun all running in with Moon and Pluto. So basically the idea of the declarations of war, that sort of stuff, all comes in. So he's death through authorities is how it works out in this chart.
Say that again.
Death through authorities.
Yeah. Are you so certain he's going to be inaugurated? Because things are really wild right now.
I'm not certain he's going to be inaugurated myself. I think that the Neptune is so unclear at this point in time that anything can happen,
anything.
And that an actual revolution could occur, and a coup could occur in this country as well.
Yeah.
The Electoral College itself, even though there's only been like what 70 instances of them ever voting, you know, individuals having voted against, you know, with their consciousness stuff. But the truth is, they are indoctrinated before they go in, and they are told that you can vote any way you want. It's just that it's the party that won that tends to pick their own, you know, pick their own. But in this circumstance, who would they actually pick, you know? So anyway,
Trump has a health issue.
Trump apparently does have some background, some very deep background health issues. And I believe that this Saturn, forces separation with death. He just goes on and on. He's just like 10 pages of this stuff, one picture after the next, and all coming in through that eclipse. Right. So we should take a look at the eclipse.
Yeah.
Be a good idea to take a look at that, right? And also, before we get to do the eclipse itself, let's take a look at the world. Let's take a look at the world in terms of... All right. Now, in the U.S., I got the Poseidon's up and all that. Now, in the USA chart, right, notice that the moon in Hades business here, the moon is on the midheaven, right, coming down here offshore, right, it goes through Puerto Rico, right, and we know that Puerto Rico is having a lot of problems with payments, right, and notice here is where the Saturn is rising. In general, it's offshore, right? Uh-huh. Notice the Neptune. I mentioned to you about the Neptune running right through the interior of the country on the IC, right through Louisiana. See it?
Mississippi.
Yeah, well, through Louisiana and then up through Birmingham and stuff. New Orleans. New Orleans isn't going to have a good time with water this year. Right? We go up a little bit further, and we see here that Admetos is running right through from Michigan, right through Louisiana, and then through the through Mexico. And again, this center part of the country is going to have Neptune and Admetos right here.
Huh.
And
is
the destructive damage of weather is going to be pretty incredible.
Would it make a difference where those two lines cross? Would that be a heightened area?
Yes.
So that is
right in the center of the country, right down here, right north of Bury on Memphis. And Memphis, by the way, is also where that eclipse line goes through.
Mm. Well, that's also the area where we had like that huge earthquake in
the swarm. The Missouri quake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
But right now there have been swarms of earthquakes west of that in Oklahoma.
Right.
And the Oklahoma guys are suing the fracking guys to get that all done. But it's something to note. Because, see, here's Mars on the IC. And Mars on the IC goes through Corpus Christi and then goes through Oklahoma City and then right up through the Dakotas.
I don't see the Mars light.
It's hard to see. See, here's Mars. It's this light little
yellow
line. See, I'm going up with it right now. You see up here, you can see a little bit of it by Nebraska. We're going to change the colors on all this stuff when we do this program. But you can see, so the fight that's going on here in the Nebraskas with the Indians is going to get worse. That's only going to escalate. You know? Because remember now, there's two pipelines now crossing near the same area that are both controversial. And
what is all the strip mining from between Atlanta and through northern Alabama?
You mean up in here?
You know, no, right on the border of Tennessee and Alabama and
right in here.
Yeah,
we've got Neptune nearby.
so much.
One of the things about the strip mining and stuff like that is that, of course, you know, we know that there have been lies, damn lies and whatnot, is coal isn't coming back. I mean, coal isn't under fire because of alternate energies. Coal is under fire because oil is dirt cheap. Oil is absolutely dirt cheap compared to coal, and coal has too many liabilities to it. So coal's been really going less and less and less and less. And mines are closing more overseas than they are locally. Because we still have a bunch of coal-fired plants all over the Midwest, and those things get train loads worth of coal per day. You know?
And is that where we're getting most of our sources of mercury downwind from?
Yes.
What do they use mercury for in that?
Mercury is a byproduct. Okay. They don't use it. It's released. Okay. It's released. It's just in the it's in the chain of things. Now, a couple other things to note. Notice that Apollon goes right through San Francisco.
Yeah. Oh,
isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? It's a very, very good thing to have happen. And notice as well that we have Venus coming up through, right through Phoenix, you know? And right up through there, going up to the north part. And we have Poseidon crossing that Venus right south of New Mexico. Right on the borderlands here, south of
Arizona.
Yeah, south of Arizona, and basically Venus and Poseidon has to do with spiritual revivals. It's a large spiritual thing. It has to do with people of the faith, people of the book.
How far did that go from from the general area?
About this big. Okay. It's about this big. But the fact that they just cross in general means it's a paron for the world.
Yep.
And everything at that latitude as well will be affected. You notice it's the same latitude as New Orleans, and also at the same latitude where we have the node at Midos paron here, which is a death combination.
Yeah.
Not very good, not a very happy combination at all. So the U.S., here we go. It's a little blow up here. You see it over here? Here's the Admetos node. Here's Mars going up through Austin, through Oklahoma City, right? And then here's the node coming down through Springfield, Des Moines. And so it's through near Little Rock and all that jazz. But then it hits the Admetos, and that's where it goes to town. And here's where the Neptune Admetos is, right on Memphis. And you'll notice that the Admetos just keeps on going up. West of Detroit, east of Chicago, etc. But it tends to follow the Mississippi and part of the Ohio tributary. So those cities are going to be, you know, in deep doo-doo. See how close that is to the Mississippi going up, right up through here, and then the other line here crossing, right, the Neptune crossing. So this area. Big floods, big weather. Neptune and Admetos has to do with the change of aggregate of water or other minerals from gas to solids. So the idea of the formation of ice is the real critical thing. So
that looks like hurricanes coming from underneath.
Yeah, you would think it's hurricanes, but actually, Ray, I think it's going to be more having to do with ice storms and terrible flooding because of the melting of the ice. That kind of hail storms. That sort of stuff.
This winter.
Cadmus.
Now let's pop out. Let's take a little bit of a look at Europe.
Gary, what was the lineup for the West Coast?
Oh, that was nice. That was Apollon and Venus. And here, let me go back up to that. See over here. See, we have Venus is offshore, but then we have the Apollon going right through San Francisco. And then it kind of peters off into no man's land.
Mm-hmm.
And the Poseidon is nearby. They're kind of like paralleling one another. And Venus comes up slightly to the west, to Salt Lake City, places like that, Phoenix. So this area here, is nice. You know, this is a nice thing. It's got Venus, Apollon.
Okay.
Whereas you get offshore from Portland, right, or you get offshore from this area, and we get Vulcanus. Here.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Right.
Vulcanus right offshore, the plate area.
I know, but wouldn't you think that if it were going to really affect the West Coast? San Francisco, would it look so pretty with...
My thinking is it's the Tierra Plate that's up here. The, was it the Elk-Chonquin Plate? Or
right.
It was called. But there's this little triangular plate up here. There's nothing to do with the San Andreas.
Yeah, no, I know.
This is exactly where it is. So if there's an offshore quake here,
It would throw up a tsunami.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
But where does that tsunami go?
Well, it can go 360 degrees. It can go in all directions.
Right. So what happens when we start to look at Japan? Let's take a look at Japan.
Right, but if it were going to wallop
I didn't say he's going to hit
San Francisco. But you notice in Japan, we've already had a 7.1 just offshore.
Yes.
Right? And we see the Venus line is nice here, right? And we see that, oh, look, Apollon looks pretty good here, right? And Poseidon is even there. So there's not a lot of bad stuff until we start getting over to the Koreans. And then it gets interesting. Now, so yes, if there's a tsunami or something like that, let's get back out. Let's go grab another map. Let's get one more of the specific here. I have to go to the world for that.
Go to Asia.
If we look at over here now, here this is Hawaii. As a matter of fact, let's see if we can...
Volcanoes?
No, with Hawaii is getting directly hit by both the Hades and the moon. And you notice the Hades is due east. So we're going to see more eruptions. Cut that out.
You cannot zoom into it.
We're going to see more eruptions on the Big Island, but probably that new island that's forming will really start going this year. Because Hades is things coming from the earth. Hades stuff coming from the earth. But I would say that Hawaii and the Big Island in particular are the most prone to issues. Right? So if there was something going on in the western part of the U.S., this Vulcanus would be the controlling interest, because Vulcanus has to do with faded or breaks in the earth, particularly when it's connected with any kind of earth thing. And it could also be even as far out as here, you know, with the Jupiter, Zeus, and all that jazz. But if there was a break here, yes, this would be the one that would get nailed. Not so much Japan. Even when we get down to Papua New Guinea, it's still not so bad. So if anything radiated, there's also a lot of talk about stuff going on in Alaska. So if we go back and previous out like that, and we get up into Alaska, right there, that Hades line goes right into the Southern Aleutians.
That's right.
Near Kodiak Island and stuff like that. So again, we might have a thing that affects this way and affects this way. You know what I mean? And maybe Japan doesn't get too nailed. I don't know. But the big thing I was seeing was this over here was in Thailand, Bangladesh, Indonesia, New Guinea, right? New Guinea gets the Vulcanus coming over it, right? And just above it is the Poseidon towards the very eastern part of it, right? So that just says that there's a spotlight there, you know? Here's the Mercury and Pluto, that warlike combination with Zeus, which has to do with the military itself, right in the middle of the island spray. Here's the Philippines, here's the contested areas with China, the China Straits, South China Straits. And here you see the Pluto is running right through this, right through the Philippines. Right?
There are also a lot of volcanoes there, too.
That is correct. But it's the Hades we look at for that. And here's Hades. Just going off the tip where Saigon is, coming down through the Philippines and Indonesia, not Philippines, through the Indonesian provinces and Malaysia, and down into Australia. So again, the area where most of the volcanism is over here in the Philippines, this plate here, and this plate over here, this section here. and Hades is right in the middle of it. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of activity there. And we note that Saturn goes right by the Big Island. And you'll notice that Saturn makes a paron or crosses with Neptune, the Neptune on the midheaven, right over Bangladesh, which is why I say Bangladesh goes underwater this year. Right? Mars tends to go through India and Nepal.
What is it? What? Oh, so that's Mars that's touching off Sri Lanka there?
Yes. The Mars is right off the edge of Sri Lanka. I don't think the rebels are going to be a big deal. Okay. But it's really New Delhi that we really want to look at. Now here's Pakistan, here's the Kashmir area, right? The line of demarcation is in here somewhere. Here's that Mars line going through this section here, but it's not near Bombay or New Delhi, which is up here, but it's close enough. Because look at the Saturn line. And that Saturn line crosses the Mars line right where the Himalayas are, right? Because this is the southern part of the Himalayas. Right? This is the whole Himalaya area. And it says that this whole area is hot. This is where the line of demarcation is.
And what?
So that's not so good at all.
What is that going up to Pakistan? Is that Pluto?
This is Venus here.
Oh, Venus.
This is Venus.
And then what's crossing it?
Right. And here's Admetos.
Admetos. Oh, it's
Admetos. See? So Admetos is going through the western edge of Pakistan and Afghanistan, which has to do with widespread deaths and whatnot. You know, the usual horrible stuff. Vulcanus here goes right up through Tehran. You see it? Vulcanus going right up through Tehran. And so that means that Iran this year exercises its power. And Iran has been doing very, very well on the battle fronts with, at the Mosul front, with the Shiite militias. But they haven't been doing too well in Yemen. So that's another thing. So let's get over to, let's buzz over to Yemen here, right? And in Yemen, we see Poseidon, right, and we see Vulcanus, right, and we see Apollon in the whole peninsula part of it there. So even though the people are dying and whatnot, it's a forced situation. There's so much spirituality going on through all of this stuff. Right, you see it was last year we looked at Turkey and Uranus went right through Ankara and they had their revolution, right? This year, we've got Zeus going through Constantinople, and the Jupiter and Uranus running through Cyprus and through Turkey. And towards the middle part, and when we get to the Syrian area, there's Pluto right on the midheaven, cutting right down on the border of Syria and Lebanon, etc., right, coming down into the Sudan, etc. So it does tell us, that the power centers here, right, there's Damascus, right, the power centers are really asserting themselves, and they've just taken over a neighborhood in Aleppo that is the first neighborhood that the rebels had liberated. So the Syrian army just took that back. There is the possibility that Cyprus will heal, so to speak, right? And the government in Istanbul, right, has the Zeus. They're going to start really. Oops, they're going to start really running the war soon enough. You know, they're going to take over because they really should. You got to remember, Turkey has the largest army in the region, so a 2 million-man army, lots of money. And they have a real reason to be in there. They want to get rid of the Kurds altogether, you know, as well as a few other groups. But again, we're seeing that rise, that rise of racism, xenophobia really is the proper term, the xenophobic rise throughout the world. Let's get out of here. Let's go to Europe. Europe becomes interesting, right? In Europe, there's too much junk going on over here. We got to look down here. But here's the Hades going up, right? We see the Hades going through Greece with the moon, poor as all hell, right? Through Bulgaria, Romania, through Lithuania, and up through Finland.
What is that?
That's the moon in Hades, the misery of the people. The
moon in Hades.
The moon in Hades. Right. You notice that that also goes through the eastern part of Libya, which is where there's a lot of stuff going on, fighting and whatnot. We see the... Here we go. It's the sun on the midheaven going through Poland, Slovakia, Hungary, and that sort of stuff. Poland is going to be the lead country in a lot of the policies for the Europeans during the course of this year. You see, Poland's going to take over a lot of material from Neptune because we look at, from Germany rather, because we look at Germany, we see Neptune is rising through, it's actually can't see it here, but it's going through Berlin and stuff. And the node is here as well as the Mars. So they've got issues, and it would be this area here where there will be most of the this whole Mars line here is going to be where most of the terrorist attacks will take place over there. You'll note that Vulcanus goes through Northern Ireland and Scotland. Guess what they're going to do about Brexit? They'll leave it. You might see a further breakup of the UK. The Ascendant here goes through Portugal, through the English Channel, right through Norway, north of Denmark. Not too bad.
Wait, is that Venus on the
other side? That's Venus. That's nice. That's nice. That's a sweet thing to see. But the Mars coming in through Malta, Marseille, right? It's where they had that truck bombing. I mean, the guy that drove the truck through the crowd, right? Up through the Lorraine, Alsace-Lorraine, and et cetera, right? We see also that Neptune clips the eastern part of Switzerland while the node is clipping the western part of Switzerland. And in the middle of Switzerland comes Saturn.
Oh, wow.
So Saturn coming in here, we're going to have upheavals in Tunisia, right? Remember, I told you, Switzerland came to grips with the actual reality of things by proposing that current, that the money thing. Well, this line is not good, particularly where Neptune is crossing it here, just south of Sardinia, and not good at all where Mars crosses it south of the Netherlands. So, as I say, Poland will become the leader of the EU in many respects, in terms of policy, laws, and whatnot, whereas Germany is going to be in space shot city. They're going to have to deal with wars or a war in their own lands. I believe that much more so than France, Germany is going to get hit. This is going to be where they're going to get nailed for terrorist attacks and things like that, with sleeper cells and whatnot. So you can see that Europe is scattered all over the place. The further east we get to Belarus and Ukraine and all, we got Jupiter and Uranus, angular. Right? But then we go a little bit further west from there, and we got the Zeus going right through Constantinople, and then up through Lithuania and Estonia and stuff, where it's very warlike. So things change. And the Hades being strong, you don't see any of these things in the U.S. The U.S. is an entirely different kettle of tea going on here. Now, up in Russia land, right, I think Moscow is about here. That's because it's Saturn. Moscow should be around here. And that has Admetos going through it. And I think that Putin isn't going to run for office after this year. I think he's done, but that doesn't stop him from his power. But he's just not going to be that public. There's going to be a major stopping or changeover in Russia. Russia's going to have to come to a halt on something.
Maybe we'll trade Trump for Putin.
You're going to look at Korea.
Yeah, let's take a look at the Koreans.
Yeah,
let's take a look at the Koreans.
China. And so.
All right. Now, Korea's got, what is that? I think it's Jupiter? No, it's Uranus. That's right. And the Jupiter and Zeus. And it's the Zeus that I'm looking at here. Notice that the Zeus goes right near Kaesong and Seoul, right? And right near Pyongyang, the capital, right, the northern part. So this is all run by Zeus, and Zeus is major saber rattling.
Yeah.
Zeus is warlike, right? And the Uranus part tells us that, well, it can break out quickly and fast and large because of the Jupiter. So it's not too good. Now, Vulcanus here comes sailing through on this southern peninsula section. So we might see something, and also this peninsula here. The contestation between North and South Korea has to do with the fishing grounds right here.
Yeah.
And that's where their major hassles have occurred when it's out to sea, you know. So we're going to see some issues going on there. It's one of the places I've said, oh, we better keep our eyeballs on this. You know, it's very critical. And as I say, this is an extension of what's happening due south, with the South China Sea and Philippines and everything else, and due south from here. So let's see. Let's go back to maps themselves. Let's get our world. Right? And no, not garish colors. Let's get it centered on Europe. Okay, here's our world map. Let's take a look at South America. And in South America, right, we've got Venus off the coast. We've got Vulcanus hugging the coast on the other side. Venus and Vulcanus, whereas the Vulcanus is very faded, but when we get the Venus nearby, and Apollon and stuff, right, we get the idea that it's faded beauty. The beauty queens come out of Venezuela, out of Brazil. Something very nice comes out of the place in general. Now, we get the Mars and Pluto, Mercury and Pluto, here north, going through the Amazonian region, Bolivia, right, and then finally through a lot of Chile. See, there's a lot of Chile going on here. And we've already had one earthquake in Chile. Offshore is Hades. See Hades here coming up? And Hades going through southern Peru, right on up, right, and then through Venezuela. So Hades and Venezuela, not a good idea. And Caracas is going to have the sun and the moon dead on it. See it? There's Caracas. There's the sun and the moon. There's the moon. There's the sun. They're crossing. That's a Paran. Right? And then we get the moon Hades happening right on the Amazonian basin. This area is rife. There's speculators going to come in there and they're going to do all kinds of stuff. You know, wherever you see that Hades, they're going to spoil the environment. Where we see it running through like Venezuela, the people just get poorer. So it's not a good thing. Now, we have Saturn on the ascendant going through Panama right next to the canal. They just put the new destroyer through it. And what happened? The destroyer hit the walls of the canal. And this is what they've been talking about with the canal this whole time. That they can't, they have to be so, the old canal, they could be really sloppy. They have little motor devices pulling the boats back and forth. This time, they're pulling them by cables. There's no railroad pulling the boats back and forth. The canal had been, they had cutbacks in the money, so they narrowed the canal, but just big enough for these larger ships. But they only have inches, and already the new one just bashed right up against the thing. Structural damage on its way. That ship's already had four or five different items happen to it. It lost propulsion. It turned out that the shells that the ship fires cost $800,000 a piece. They can't even do test firings on it. There's all this stuff going on. And they still haven't decided whether or not it will capsize in the water. Uh-huh. Because they're using what's called a design where the ship is narrow on top and real bulbous on the bottom, so it constantly
seems like an appalling use of our money, except for one thing. It was built in Back, Maine.
That's right. It's the first new design in 25 years. But the thing about it, of course, is you're correct. It's an appalling use of our money because of the fact that who is the ship set to fight for?
That's right.
The kind of fighting we have is best done with 200 horsepower motors on an open cruiser with a submachine gun. That's really the best, because that's what the pirates have. You know, I mean, you can't send a machine that has missiles like that after a pirate boat that's 15 feet long. A little overkill going on here. But aside from that, though, we get the idea that the Panama Canal is going to have issues. It's going to have problems. We also note that these are the Canary Islands over here. And you'll notice that Neptune is on the IC, right on the Canaries. So somebody's going to fart over there a little too strongly, you know?
For the Panama Canal story, what was your source? Where'd that info come
from? I was in the newspaper 2 days ago.
Okay.
It just happened. but it was one of the things when they were talking about it, when they were talking about the cutbacks and the fact that they may not even have enough water to fill the locks up properly because of the way the water situation is being run, they were talking about that they're taking, it's a real gamble whether they could pull it off, like on a shoestring in the way they did it. Yep. And with the design institutions that they've made for the canal, it might be just too narrow. It might not be long enough even, because they only have a little bit of space as the boats are in there. It's like really a tight fit. So there's issues. And plus then the government is financing this. They've got to make that money back from their subscriptions, from the use of the canal. You might not get that much use, you know. This is Saturn time, so they're going to get this. They're getting the Saturn early, right? And here we are. There is Sao Paulo, and there's the Vulcanus going right through Uruguay, and the Uranus right on the corner of Uruguay with Jupiter and Zeus. Now, if there's some industry happening down here or something like that, that's a good investment. And that's a place that's going to be jumping. Literally, you know, something's going to happen really interesting there. But as we start getting down here in Santiago and stuff, Santiago is great for trade, but the Pluto being right off, there's issues. There's going to be border issues between Argentina and Chile. Even though there isn't much of a border between, I mean, you get these giant mountains, it's like two different worlds, you know, they're separating the two, you know. But that's all that stuff. So let's see, anything else in the world we haven't looked at?
But Africa.
Well, Africa's always a mess. Why even bother?
Because I want to go to South Africa.
Let's go to the world then, and let's center it on Europe. And let's go get Africa. So, that'll do it. All right. So, what we have going on with Africa, first of all, Madagascar seems to be the nicest spot, right? Even though Vulcanus is offshore, it's offshore with Apollon, and on the other side is Jupiter and Uranus. So the midpoint of Jupiter, Uranus, and Apollon run through the whole peninsula. I mean, run through the whole island. Not too shabby. Now, we get to South Africa itself. There's the moon in Hades going right through it. And there's the capital. It's pretty close to that Hades. Coming down on the other side, we have the sun. So Cape Town's cool. But as you get more as Johannesburg, not so cool. So it's not a good idea. Particularly the spots in between. Now, that comes up right through the middle of Zaire, right? Western Sudan and Chad, where the border wars are going on. But mostly, this all goes through, when we get to Libya, I mentioned that, through Sarte and the places where Benghazi occurred and all that stuff. It all gets hit by that. But they're trying to make a government in Libya. And this is where the government center would be. This is where Tunisia is. What's the capital of Libya?
Tripoli.
Right, this is where Tripoli is. And this is where they're trying to form a government, and we have Cupido running here. But I mentioned earlier, between Algeria and Tunisia, they're in trouble because it's Saturn MC. Right? Here's Nigeria with Saturn going right through it. And as we had that big pipeline explosion, another one, just a couple of weeks ago. And Nigeria, the richest resources in the world and the most corrupt government. The people are starving so bad that they put holes in the pipes. Yeah. Neptune goes through the Ivory Coast area along with Mars. So this whole little area here is to be avoided at all costs. Right? So if you're going to go visit Africa, You want to go visit around the Cape Town region, the western parts of Africa. You don't want to go to the capital. Who asked the question?
Maybe.
Yeah, you don't want to go to the capital.
How about Pretoria?
Let's go a little closer. Pretoria is in one of the areas that's not that well put together.
Not so well put together.
Yeah, no, Cape Town is the hot spot.
Okay.
So if you can get to the western part of the country, you're doing good. As we get even further to the east, we get into Uranus. So get the idea that Uranus and Moon, Uranus and Hades are all running into that area. And Uranus Hades is kind of like just mean. People do mean things out of the blue. Uranus Moon is because they're emotionally upset. Okay. That all together. Let's go back to previous here. Now let's look at that eclipse. Shall we take a look at the eclipse? Let's look at it. So we're doing this. All right, here's our eclipse. Coming in at Portland, exiting at Charleston. Right? You'll notice it goes through Louisville, and it goes through Kansas City, and it's near Omaha, and it goes near Boise, and near Portland.
All through all red states, pretty much.
All the red states. Well, like I say, it kind of parallels the Mason-Dixon line. It's almost like a weird-ass Mason-Dixon line.
This is 28 Leo, right?
This is a 28 Leo here.
And that's Trump's ascendant, 29.
That is correct. That's why you think we're jumping around about this one. It's like one of these things like, you know, you can really be a master of the obvious here. You just look at it at absolute face value. Mm-hmm. Just absolute face value. This is what you come up with. So where should Astrolabe have an event? I'm not going to have it in Charleston. It was first suggestion was in Charleston because who wants to go to Charleston in August?
No. Asheville.
And if we go up to Asheville, right, it's kind of far away. We'd have to go. Here's where Virginia is, and that's pretty far. I was thinking.
Asheville's right on it. Asheville's right on it.
What?
Right there.
What? Asheville's on the western side.
Oh, that's right, North Carolina. Let's go over to Portland. I'm thinking about Portland because Portland's a hip city.
Yeah, Portland's more.
And it's nicer in the summertime.
Yeah.
See, there's Portland. Maybe we can do it in Salem. Maybe we should do Salem. But if I'm looking at Salem right now, it's pretty good. Because we don't need to go to a big city. We just want to be under the eclipse line.
Why?
So we could watch it. I was there for the 1999 one in Europe.
Where is it likely to be clear?
That's another question. That's one thing you can't.
Probably not
on
there.
The West Coast, not there.
You can't tell. I mean, this is the cloudy part of the country.
Casper, Wyoming.
Casper, Wyoming. I'm not sure they even have a hotel big enough for five people. You think they do?
Kansas City. I think it's the city of fountains, isn't it?
Huh?
Kansas City have a lot of fountains.
Well, it's Kansas City and St. Louis. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to be in this part of the country in the middle of summer.
No.
You want to go to these places in the middle of summer? To the middle of August. August 21st. I went to an AFA convention. They had an AFA convention in Florida, in Orlando, on July 4th.
Are you kidding?
And I asked the organizers, why did you have this here at this time? They said, no. They said, hell was booked. And it was true. They opened up those doors, the front doors of the hotel, and it was a blast. It was like, oh my, if you had like anything that was iron, it just wilted instant, you know, all that. It was really amazingly bad. And so I decided I'm not going down there at that time of the year.
Nashville.
Nashville's also hot.
It's going to be hot.
Yeah, yeah. No.
That's where they fry the dog shit in the summertime right on the sidewalks. You know? As I said, all these places here, these are nowhere land. You're going to have to stay near a coast where it's warm, you know, where it's cool water somewhere. That's the one good thing about Charleston. At least you have the waterfront. But I'm not sure the town's even going to be there. You know? And then Atlanta, you can't even get around because it's too trafficky.
Yeah.
This might be underwater. Charleston is at sea level to begin with. And like I say, this is going to be the year of water in many respects. So I don't know, maybe we'll think about it. But if you guys have strong suggestions, we'll entertain anything until around December 15th when we're going to decide whether or not we're going to do this.
What are these lines? Are they the degree lines running off?
Yeah, these are the not degree lines, but where it falls off by 20%.
Oh, okay.
There's 25% fall off, half percent. There's 25% of the eclipse there.
So the Cape is going to be 25%.
Yeah, we'll see it, but we're going to no, 75% total, a little bit less than 75% total.
Okay.
Goes falls off. So we'll see it, but it won't be the whole thing.
Right.
You know.
Well, in what time of day?
But the good news is it doesn't rain here.
I'll get you the time of day in a second. But one of the things about being under a total eclipse is that everything they say about it is absolutely true. I mean, the birds went got really dark, even though it was under clouds, they couldn't see it. But it just got absolutely all the street
what
lights came on.
What time of
the
day is it going to happen?
Birds get really quiet.
The birds go nuts first. They're flying around in circles.
2:30
p.m. And then they get quiet. You got it? 2:30 is on our sheet there.
Okay,
sun
will be high in the sky.
Wow.
Yeah, it'll be a thing now. While we're at it here, and you're looking at your sheets, just so that you know, in the back sheet, we put something different this year. We put a 45-degree graphic ephemeris. Has anybody not ever seen one of these before or how to use one?
I've seen it, but I don't use it.
It's very, very simple. This is a graph of all the transits of the year. And it's what's called a 45-degree modulus, so that every line crossing is an aspect that's division by 8 of the circle. It's either a 45-degree aspect, square and a half, opposition, or conjunction. Right? Now, the degrees are on the edge. So what it does, it goes from 0 to 15 degrees in the fixed, then starts up here at 15 degrees in the fixed, and continues going through to, we put a little key, there's a little key under the hot degrees of what all the equivalences are, right? So it's, the first 45 degrees goes to the 15 of the fixed, right? And then the 15 of the fixed goes, is the 0 of the mutables, and it goes through from there. So it's not hard to read. The thing about it is you'll note that as the lines are going down, they're going direct, and when they're moving up, they're moving retrograde. So this is time, this is degrees moving, the direction is downward, right? So as the lines are going down, right, they're increasing in degrees. When they go back, they're going retrograde. So the stations are the bottom of these curves, the tops of these curves. So here's Mercury, right? Here's Venus. Venus, the big Venus retrograde that occurs right after the first of the year. Now, when you look in the sky right now, you'll note that Venus is setting at night. Mm-hmm. Right? It's called Venus is the evening star. After the conjunction with the, after it goes retrograde, and it goes past the superior conjunction of the sun, and starts going direct again here, and crosses past the sun, it becomes an evening star, a morning star after May, after the end of May, at the beginning of June, somewhere in there. It becomes a morning star. Now, when Venus is an evening star, it's the lovely Venus. Everybody's romantic. It's really sensual, you know, everybody wants to get together and socialize. When it's the morning Venus, it's the Amazonian Venus. It's the going to war, it's the warlike Venus. So Venus has four cycles, four phases. One of the phases is sensuous, which we tend to associate with it. The other phase is warlike, the Amazon. And we go to war. So when it becomes a morning star, what is this? Yeah, it looks like it's in early June. That's not so good. At that point, Venus starts getting pretty weird. Venus starts acting as opposite. But basically, in terms of going through the darn thing and looking at it, right, the period we're going to want to watch, the things we want to watch here is look at the Uranus and the Neptune, right, and you'll see that they come together over here, and then they break apart, they're making a half square, and it coincides with the station of Mercury, right, and we're in July, just before the August 21st part, and the whole August 21st part, the Mercury is going retrograde. Right? You see it all?
Yep.
That stinks. That stinks. Crawl under a rock and hang out for a while. The other thing here is here's the Uranus and the Jupiter combos that are coming in. The Uranus is here going down, right? And we see the Jupiter comes, swings up, and then swings down. You'll notice that the Jupiter crosses the Uranus and the Neptune. All at the same time with Venus and Mars, right, in September by the next by the equinox at that point in time. That's another real hot spot in terms of stuff that we want to keep an eye on. Here, the Jupiter coming up and stationing with the node. That's nice. That's just cute. See, the node is a straight line going back here. And the other thing here, Saturn here eclipsed Venus twice. See it? And that's in March and April. While the Venus stations, Venus comes down and makes its first station, goes back up, goes retrograde in April, and it gets eclipsed by Saturn twice. Love stinks. Love hurts, right? So we want to be cautious about that as well. I didn't put the TNPs on this one. Because it's for the
and Venus is still a morning. I mean, an evening star.
Venus will still be an evening star at that point in time. Yes, yes. He's Venus is basically at its greatest elongation right now. So he's a happy camper. She's a happy camper. Kind of a thing. All right, let's get out of here. Let's go back to the chart. Let's go to the chart itself. Let's get out of here. Let's cancel this. Close that. Get this total eclipse up here, and we'll just take a quick peek at that. By the way, if you want Trump's data, does anybody want Trump's data?
Sure.
Just for the thing about it. He was born on June 14th, 1946, 10:52 a.m. EDT, in Jamaica, New York, J-A-M-A-I-C-A. That's Queens, Western Queens. And as a child, we all grew up with him growing up across the river. So as a New Yorker, you know, we knew about this guy our entire lives. Mm-hmm. And we come right back to the theme of this era.
Right.
His truthiness. Mm-hmm. All right, any questions?
Okay.
Let's get rid of our total eclipse chart.
Oh, we had a question.
Eight Sag rising. That's the U.S.
That's right. Well, that's where Neptune is for the U.S. chart. That's where the U.S. ascendant is, and transiting Neptune is right now.
Yeah.
By square, of course.
I know.
There. Right. And in this thing, you notice the Neptune is right on that Sibley 13 degree ascendant
square.
Business. It's an interesting chart. I mean, as charts go, this one's an interesting chart.
The Venus is close to the U.S. Venus, isn't it?
That's correct. I mean, it's one of those things. All you can do is read the obvious. It's just like this very obvious thing going on.
Gary, I can't read the time.
Yes, that is true. It's really small. It's August 21st, 2017, at 1:30:06 seconds p.m.
Venus.
This one is done in Brewster. Actually, I should change. I better change this one.
But why does it say EST instead of EDT?
I know.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's bad too.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's because it might be an internal issue. I'll recalculate the chart
says 230 EDT.
I'm gonna say something like that. I'm gonna recalculate this thing at 1:30:06 EST and see if it
changes.
No, does it show on that one?
It says 230 EDT.
EDT. So that's correct, because this is 1:30. Because what it's doing is doing an internal calculation. It doesn't care about time zone. But so it would then be 2:30:06 EDT, so you're in conformity with your software.
Okay. So it doesn't know about daylight savings. Or it doesn't account
for it. It doesn't account for it. It's one of those things that not many people notice that sort of stuff.
Now, you want it for Brewster?
I did it for Brewster. But if it changes, it's only going to change within 2 degrees to go down to Washington.
Okay.
So like I said, I was going to probably recalculate it, but I said, we're pretty well done for the day on that. Let's get back to the actual solstice chart. No, we're not going to save any of that stuff. Get out of here. Okay, let's bring this all back. There we go.
So, once you told me, or recently you told me you were going to do it one next year because it was, the year was so bad. It sounds
I am going to do it next year.
You are going to do it.
Yeah, I got excited about it after looking at this year being so stinky.
Okay.
We'll see how it all turns out, huh?
Yeah. I tell you, if there was a year to skip, it would be next year altogether. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And I think we're good to go. I'm going to shut this off.